Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by my good friend, Jim Gilkey, who is an account manager at Terminus. Jim, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to jump into this.
And as much as I know you're an account manager at Terminus, I honestly think in our context, the more like relevant claim to fame is that you're the host of Account-Based Beverages. So you have an incredible podcast also on ABM and very highly practical playbooks. So if you guys are listening to this show and you're like, man, I'd love more, Jim's your guy. Just great 8-minute episodes. So honestly, I love the show. I love the format. But I'm excited to dig into a playbook today. And we'll look at budget. It's my favorite thing to see is that it's a $0 budget. So this is a super scrappy playbook that anybody can run. So Jim, can you go ahead and give us kind of the high level of what we're talking through today?
Yeah. So prior to me coming over to Terminus, I was a director of marketing at a staffing firm, and I was tasked with launching ABM. When you're getting started, you need some quick and easy playbooks, and nothing is invented. Many things are stolen. So I stole two ideas from good buddies of mine. One being Kyle Lacey talking about some pipeline acceleration plays he does surrounding events and putting your customers that are so excited and so in love with your product that they can't help but talk about how great you are, even outside the context of a learning session, and those people that you've been talking to in some sales conversations that just need that little extra nudge to get over the line. So pairing that up with an idea I got from a buddy of mine who is my sales counterpart, Adam Schultes, in his sales roundtables, they were doing this exercise they called Lean Coffee. And I figured, why not pair the event, having some of your in-pipeline deals and your happy customers with this Lean Coffee exercise, which I'll explain here in a second. And it works wonders. And I think everybody needs to be starting this in some form or fashion today.
I don't know about you, but most of the deals that I talk with in my pipeline, they want some form of social proof. And admittedly, case studies are often a super heavy lift. And like the coordinating of getting customer referrals set up and all these calls, like some people love the idea. Other people are just not super into it. They're already busy. They don't want to hop on another 30-minute call where they're just like, essentially advocating on the behalf of somebody else. And some companies do not do necessarily a great job of actually incentivizing their referral or their references. So all that to say, I love this because it makes it really easy to get that social proof in a fairly enjoyable way. So with that, let's go ahead and dig into what's Lean Coffee. What's a Lean Coffee roundtable?
Yeah. So the Lean Coffee exercise essentially creates an environment in which individuals show up and they are the ones that determine the agenda and the content that is discussed during the roundtable. So everybody who walks into any event, everybody who shows up to work every day, they have a certain number of questions that they need answers to and problems that they're trying to figure out. The idea with this Lean Coffee exercise, when you sit down after you go through your introductions and understand who is at this table, everybody can write down, if you're in person, just using sticky notes works fine. If you're doing a virtual event, there's a great website, Slido, where you can set up for free an account where people submit questions. And it could be anything that is a burning topic that you want to talk about. Now, with those, you're going to get a whole list of topics. They're going to be all over the board, and you don't really know what's going to be relevant to your audience. So the next step after everyone submits their ideas is voting on what are those topics that resonate more with you if you're not the one that wrote them down. And as everybody votes on their favorite topic or topics, then you get this list that is perfectly curated to be the most interesting to the greatest group of people at this event. And the idea with Lean Coffee is we're not solving all the world's challenges on the call today. We're not going to sit down in a meeting and everybody's walking away with their problem solved. But the idea is you figure out the one person who's at that table that said something that sparked some idea in your mind or some question that you want to learn more about. And afterwards, you think, I want to go and ask that person if they'll have coffee with me, and we can continue to expand upon this. You can have your 2-hour coffee diving really deep into that subject. So in order to keep this meeting moving and to cover the majority of the topics, we set a timer, 5 minutes per topic. Now you can give them 30 seconds to clarify, hey, when I wrote down the question, here's what I was thinking. After that, it is up to the rest of the group of people to say, here's something that I've tried, to ask clarifying questions, to give ideas of things that might work. And when that timer goes off, you're moving on to the next one. And so typically over a course of an hour format, I would do a lot of these over lunch, and I would do these virtual because I was running marketing back during COVID era. And it was really great to see how many of these topics that you're able to cover over the course of an hour long call. You have 15 minutes of introductions and recap, and then 45 minutes gets you through 9 questions. And so that's a lot of content, and there's nothing that you as the marketer have to build yourself. Now, taking good notes is going to be important because as the follow-up, you're going to want to send out some of the recap. But a great way to recap, even at the end of the meeting, is to ask somebody, what is the one thing you're going to take away? What's the one thing you're going to try today? And a lot of those notes that you're going to be sending out afterwards, you'll be given those directly from the people that are participating.
And I've honestly been thinking about doing this for the Scrappy ABM clients, because a lot of our clients are really smart on their own. We just help them in specific ways, but like holistically, they're not unintelligent. They're great at what they do. And I love this idea of being able to essentially be a connector. And honestly, Jim, you and I have both hosted podcasts, and I feel like you would agree, through the podcast that we've hosted, we've been able to be a great connector that has ended up helping accelerate pipeline or generate new pipeline for the companies that we've worked for. I love the fact that it's not answering all the questions, but it's who in this call can I connect with later to build a deeper relationship with. And but I'm always going to associate this relationship with my good buddy Jim that worked at Terminus that helped me build this relationship in the first place. And Kyle Lacey likely hasn't talked with you about this for years, but you source this idea back to Kyle. And you've constantly sourced it back to Kyle. So I just think that it's not necessarily the most one-to-one attributable program of like dollar in, dollar out, but it's the brand build and the association that's just a positive touch point that can last as a positive touch point for literally years. I love that idea.
And when you talk about some of the unintended benefits from this, many of us try to figure out what is the best piece of content, what is the best format type, what should I be talking about? And we don't have enough access, I think, in general, as marketers, to our clients. We don't talk to them enough to hear the ways that they talk about their problems. They talk about potential solutions and how you as a company help them. These are great for marketers to be able to get a front row seat and see what are the most pressing topics. And if you see a common theme start to show up in these roundtables, then if I'm going into my content planning meeting, this is content that I need to start to create, because this is something that people are already asking questions about. And I think a lot of ABM is this mindset of taking people in one step of their journey of research and moving them one or two steps down through connecting them to the right resource or creating that piece of content.
Yeah, and I literally posted this yesterday as of the date of this recording, like count progression model and working through how do we think about where our accounts are and their research stages and helping them get connected to those right resources. You're correct. Often we think about that as let's the content asset. But what I'm hearing from you is it might be based on where they are in their journey, who's the right person for them to connect with to get the answers that they need to make sure that they feel confident moving forward with us as their vendor or their partner. It sounds honestly pretty simple in theory. And I love that it's not overly complicated. The only things I want to just dig into are, as you're thinking about building this, how do you determine the best people to invite? Because it sounds like this is a pretty small and intimate group.
Absolutely. So part of this is going to be from a company level, finding those accounts that have really solid use cases with your business to represent the customer side. And as Kyle puts it, those that are so excited about your brand, they can't help but talk about it. Kyle, when he does his events, they're not even doing anything related to business. They're doing a wine tasting, they're preparing a meal together. And he just knows that his customers that he invites are going to bring up their business because they're so excited about the brand and they have those fans already. So considering that, or considering those people that can talk about a specific use case and maybe solidify or crystallize an idea that the sales team maybe introduced in one of the sales meetings, but now that they've had that real use case and that real story behind how this works in action, now they're ready and feeling more confident so that they can sign. And then from the prospect side, you would look at those individuals that have either stalled out and you need to find some engaging way to get them reintroduced to your brand and back into the conversations. Or many of the times, it's right when they're coming up to those points of decision and moving forward with you. So not quite to just processing the paperwork, but in that competitive evaluation down to the last few, we have vendor of choice, or maybe we're trying to fight for that vendor of choice. And now we're going to invite them to this high touch event where they're going to start to get some coaching and some training and some advice on how this might work. And to understand that it's not just a brand that I'm going to be working with, but it feels more like a community that's I'm going to be introduced to. That gives people so much more confidence when they think about taking that really big leap in their mind of signing the paperwork, knowing that there's going to be more than just the CSM that's going to be working with them. That gives them a sense of comfort and security in making these big decisions to moving forward with you.
So a couple questions just on that front of kind of the lead up time. So again, I'm thinking out loud, something like this doesn't feel like a super crazy lift. It feels like something you could honestly put together in a relatively short time frame of a couple of weeks. So I'm just curious from your perspective, is this something that you're planning out like a quarter at a time and you're saying, okay, we're going to do this vertical specific coffee roundtable and then this problem specific roundtable? Or is it something where you're looking at the pipeline and saying, we've got 7 deals right now that are all at this stage and are stuck for this reason or are all in this same vertical. Let's plan a coffee chat for 4 weeks from now and invite all 7 of those deals and these other clients that we already have to this roundtable. So I'm just trying to understand from a planning perspective, like what's the best way to plan these things out?
Yeah, typically I would be looking quarterly at what are the places where deals are getting hung up. What is the level of, when you look at the business and the seasonality, the deals that we might have more than one of these as we get to the end of the year, because more people are getting close to that finish line, there might be a longer gap on the opposite side of the year where we're not closing anything because people are waiting for that mid-year checkup and seeing where their budget lies. But the other piece that I think is really important to consider outside of just industry is that persona that you're working with. When many of these businesses start to meet, there's going to be a practitioner that is going to be really important to be working with some of this round group. But there's also going to be some senior level. They have to report on this. They have to be able to tell the story of how something like this is working. And that's an entirely different persona. So starting to look at maybe those key people that get involved, one of the other pieces that helps a lot in these conversations is the deals that you are below that power line. You're dealing with somebody that loves the product and they think it's really great, but you know that you need to level up. Being able to invite a senior decision maker to this executive roundtable, you could even throw in that word executive, so that they feel like they're going to be taken care of at their level and they're not going to be talking about the ground level tactics. It's also really important for being able to level up within these and move these deals forward based off of the persona that you're inviting.
Okay. So again, thinking quarterly, I love the call out around who you're inviting. Yes, obviously this is account based and in nature. So we're going to get the right problem, the right vertical, the right accounts in the room, but it's not just the accounts, it's the right decision makers that can actually push the decision forward. So super helpful call out. as far as like any roadblocks or challenges, like what were some of the things you ran up against as you were doing this for the first few times?
Yeah, the easy one to maybe think about and to start to try to plan for is just the scheduling. When you get, especially with an executive level roundtable, trying to coordinate 8 to 10 calendars is challenging. Most people know how to work through that. We're already doing that today. But the other piece that I was not expecting when I started to run these is you might have a good company. And I talked about, you know, inviting the right companies earlier. But when you start to think of which individuals within those companies, you get to know the personalities and which ones are going to be ones that will show up to these and they'll dominate the conversation. And there are the types of individuals that just want to air grievances or complain even when things are going well. And so understanding what individual within the company and kind of what is their personality in a group setting? Are they going to be one to throw out ideas? Are they going to be one to ask clarifying questions? And are they going to show up and be a warm body but never share? Or are they going to be on the opposite side where they won't stop talking and you feel that pain of the prospect you're trying to get across the line or moving a little bit forward that wants to say something and can't get in a word edgewise?
Any insight on how to feel that out before you invite somebody?
I think having conversations with those individuals, many times if it's with an account you're not working with directly because you're not on the CS team, it's joining one of those calls. Or if you have call recording software, you can obviously listen to that. Yeah. But the other could be just inviting one of those people for a conversation and you can feel it out pretty quickly. It doesn't have to be a 30-minute or 60-minute interview, just be 15 minutes trying to get a pulse check. And it could even be from a messaging perspective. What are the questions that you have? Where are the ways that we could be more clear in our communication, in our marketing? And then as you feel them out, hey, this is going to be somebody that's really solid for inviting to these roundtables. And then this other person might not. I think what you find is when you get these started, because you're talking about the topics that everybody is writing down at the beginning of the call and voting on, there is so much value in these conversations. And many times we feel like we have to do all the work as marketers in creating the value, but there's so much value just from the peer-to-peer connections that many of the people that you're inviting to these are asking, can we make this a monthly event? Can we come back for the next one? And so a lot of the times you don't have to find a new group of people every time. You could have the same four customers or have two of those customers come back for the very next call because there is such an insane amount of value that comes out of these, even if you're already working with the product.
Now, I love the call out that, for lack of a word, I hate to put it this way, but like you can recycle people that are great additions and really help to further the conversation. Like you said, don't get me wrong, hopefully we all have customers that are just raving advocates and fans, and we want all of our customers to be that way. It's not always the case, but if you've got raving advocates and fans within your existing customer base, like they're not going to mind showing up for something that adds value to their career and their job every single month or once a quarter. So that's a huge helpful call out. So final question is just, somebody is thinking about building an ABM program. Is there anything else that you'd want to share just on how to do it
right? Yeah, I think the biggest is a maxim from an older company that I'd worked with is just focus equals growth. I think there is always the pressure on marketers to generate more and generate faster. And that speed sometimes kills the art of what we do best. And so one of the things that when I'm talking with marketers about setting up ABM or really taking their ABM to the next level is rather than creating a generic persona, find one person at one company. Rather than trying to start with 1,000 accounts and maybe just using the name of an intent topic in your ad, maybe try to do a little bit of research on one account. We see this huge divide between the demand gen persona that comes into ABM from the perspective of, I need to make this demand gen 2.0 and still target everybody and have the names of the accounts, but this is really just demand gen. Or you look at the enterprise level where they're doing tens of thousands of dollars to one account, to one person at the one account, and they're spending $25,000 for somebody to go out and research that person so they know exactly what kind of curated experience. But if you're starting to do some research on an individual and you're just looking up, what are they posting online? you're following them, you see the conversations that they're getting into, more than likely, people with the same title in similar businesses have the same kind of problems and questions. So if you're going to spend the time with one account, it might feel like it's a waste because you're not going after hundreds or thousands of accounts, but it's amazing how you can essentially take the really niche data about one person, anonymize it just a little bit. So it's not Jack Smith. It is CTO at this type of company. And now all of a sudden you have a really sticky message that's going to resonate with a lot of people because you're researching can apply to more than just the one person that you're spending all the time researching.
I love that so much. And I think it's just super helpful because sometimes when we get into ABM, we throw the baby out with the bathwater and people are like, we don't need personas. Everything should be unique. But at the end of the day, sometimes inbound personas or inbound marketing personas are just like super generic and not helpful. But the flip side is you don't take the research that you do on an individual and then start to recognize the trends and the patterns in similar personas and similar organizations. So I love the call out there. And actually, as we're helping clients onboard for their podcast, I literally ask them, who is the person you're making this podcast for? And ask questions for that individual. Yep. And again, if you do that, there's a lot of people that are probably in that same camp as that one person you personally know. And it just makes content way better. Jim, thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you and all that you're doing, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn/Jay Gilkey, or you can search account-based beverages. As I mentioned before, I was director of marketing, came over to an ABM tech company and saw a lot of the same questions that I was having when I was setting up ABM. And so I decided, why don't I make a podcast that's really short form, average episode 6 minutes long, that people are sharing their one piece of ABM advice and then are able to take action on it. So short and to the point, you can look at that on accountbasedbeverages.com or on LinkedIn.
Jim, I super love the show. Thank you for the time. This has been Scrappy ABM. We hope you all enjoyed. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.